From Studio C, 2 weeks ago, David Berkley and Ben Wright.
Sure. We're going to start with a song called Back to Blue from my latest record, The Fire in My Head. You're listening to Ben Wright making some sounds over there. And I'm David Berkley. We are from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
There's a rising moon somewhere. Autumn leaves are everywhere. Could that have been a smile? Yes, I know it's been a while. Sometimes we're lost out in the wild. I've been looking up and down. But do you hear that far off sound? Like the birds were circling round. Like the breeze was whispering. And all good things one day begin. If I knew the words I'd sing it loud so we could hear. But we have only this one chance. Let's take it, my dear. Let's taste it, my dear. And some arrows miss the mark. Sometimes the match won't spark. That's not how the story ends. No, that can't slow us down, my friend. We do the best we can to mend. Stop the fighting, calm the fear. But we have only this one chance. Let's take it, my dear. Let's taste it, my dear. We have only this one chance. Let's take it, my dear. Let's taste it, my dear. Don't let me waste it, sky. See the light inside your eyes, glowing like the moon. And there's a way for me and you, and the night goes back to blue. There's still hope, it's clear. But we have only this one chance. Let's take it, my dear. Let's taste it, my dear. We have only this one chance. Let's take it, my dear. Let's taste it, my dear. Don't let me waste it.
All right, and this one is called To the Sea, also from the new record and book. Again, Ben Wright playing the guitar, the prettier guitar. And this one goes with a story that this is the closing story of the book. It's about a girl who's come home to find her father after years away. Both have had hard times in between.
Father, 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 I am coming home. Open up the gates, please let me in. Everybody needs some way to start again. Yeah, I've been on a road not always kind. Yes, it's been a long, hard climb. Father, 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 lay your hand in mine. Sometimes all we carry holds us down. But letting go is hard, I've found. So let me be like the leaves on the trees. They come back in the spring, go to green. Oh, let me be like the stream full of rain. It comes back eventually to the sea. It comes back eventually to the sea. Tell me, will we ever reach the promised land? There's nothing we can do to change the past. Will we ever get to say we're free at last? Yeah, don't you know the war's over and done? I'm pretty sure more lost than won. So let me be like the leaves on the trees. They come back in the spring, go to green. Or let me be like the stream full of rain, it comes back eventually to the sea. Father, 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 I am coming home. Yeah, everybody needs some place to lean. Yeah, you and me both, it seems. So let me be like the leaves on the trees. They come back in the spring, go to green. Oh, let me be like the stream full of rain. It comes back eventually to the sea. Back to me. Oh, I Cause Father, 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 I am home.
Well, there are road warriors and there are road warriors. I'm speaking to David Berkley and Ben Wright, who've been playing together for a good amount of time now. And we're catching you at an interesting time, just given where you started as musicians. David, in this configuration, you are the singer-songwriter. And Ben, you have become sort of a different animal as time goes on working with David's songs. So let's forget about all the hazards it took for you to get down from Santa Fe in rainstorms and hail and snow in May and get right into it. I'm going to start with Ben.
Please.
Because I can't compliment this guy to his face. What is it? How did you find your way into what David's doing? Because what David does musically, he takes his time and you can't be monotonous as a musician.
Yeah, definitely. There's a real dynamic threshold that you kind of have to step up to play with this guy. And it's a challenge I was definitely ready to accept. And it's been fun. It's pushed my playing in good directions.
When some of the early work, and David, you've performed here in Albuquerque with another electric guitar player. And in both cases, at least in the performances that I'm aware of, you begin with a sort of a Bill Frisell vibe, washing over. But what we're hearing tonight is a little more aggressive. Mm-hmm. How does that come about? Is that informed by the songs or just by your experience now?
Well, yeah, I think for me, starting to play with David, there was an element of being slightly tentative and kind of particularly for that very dynamic element in David's music to not like do too much too soon or come on too strong. So I think there was an atmospheric approach that I was taking earlier that was slightly related to just being kind of shy to overdo it. But these days I know the material a little bit better, a lot better, and it's become more part oriented, and I feel like I can assert some melodic ideas with a little more oomph behind them.
Yeah, Ben is definitely a musical chameleon, and has a broader range than most musicians, and has pretty eclectic tastes, and so he can pull from all of these worlds. And for me, I think that it's a treat to play with someone like that, because I can provide a framework, and then we can bring it into a number of different directions depending on the mood and how it is. I mean, lately we've been playing as a four-piece with Josh Martin and Paul Federici, and we can take my mellowest songs and turn them into big sort of outdoor rock songs, and for me that's a real treat. And I think the potential that we have now that I have these guys with me is to be able to do both. It's kind of the default for me, at least, is to be able to create these sort of lush, quiet, introspective palettes. But to be able to elevate them to the levels we now can, I think has a potential for a power that is really exciting, at least for us as musicians and hopefully for you as listeners.
Well, when you're working on these songs, there's the other side of you, which is creating a story and trying to balance between the two of them. Now, this new project that's coming out is a record and book, and this would be the third time or the fourth time?
The second time that I've really tried to do it properly, but yeah.
But, okay, so you're not, I mean, there's great tradition of ballads, of narrative songs, and they're all, a lot of people say a good song is in some sense a snapshot that infers the before and behind, but you're somewhere more in the middle of that. I feel like it's almost like scene study when I watch you perform a song.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, I think that there are different types of songs. Some songs tell a narrative, and some songs just create a mood. I like to do both, in fact. But lately, I've been more and more interested in playing with the two genres. So, what can you do with a story and what can you do with a song? I don't think my strength is to tell a story song, at least in the typical way that you know, Dylan can tell a story song or Johnny Cash could tell a story song. I think that I do write more impressionistic songs, even if there is a narrative. And so what I've tried to do with this new project is to write the narrative as a story with words and prose, and then be able to write a song that complements and combines with that story to create a whole. So ultimately, you'll get a book of short stories, and then you'll get an album of songs. And the songs are from the perspective of the main character of each story. And I think give you an insight into the emotional world of the character that the story may or may not reveal. So there's a symbiosis that I'm trying for.
Well, you have been a writer of prose as early as you were a writer of songs, but you were writing a very different prose. I'm sure you, like everyone else, knows that the phrase "kill your darlings" is something that's taught in writing class 101. It's also songwriting 101.
It's also what my mom told me all growing up, which, I mean, I it's funny that you mentioned that because Ben and I might have talked about that. I feel like it's a weird piece of criticism that we all, many of us heard early, and there's definitely a truth to it. You can become enamored by your own work and therefore blind to its potential flaws or that it might be overwritten. But I also think it's a tragic piece of criticism because you also should cherish your darlings and you should seek to write your darlings. And I hope to have reached a point in my life where I can appreciate honestly that certain things are darling and deserve to be honored and sung. Yeah, so it's something that I wrestle with a lot.
But who wins when the song and the story are not agreeing? When the song wants him to jump off a cliff and the story wants him to have a car accident, not to be cheerful or anything.
Those are the two options, Matthew. you know, I didn't have that problem in this. I tended to write the stories first, and then I got as honest as I could with what I thought the character wanted to express in a song that didn't come through maybe in the story. At times I came up with lyrical concepts in the song that I then wrote into the story, but they weren't contradictory. They just were details that I thought, wow, that's actually cool. In the song, The Wishing Well, I have a lyric that in the second verse starts, and I feel like a traveling salesman going door to door, which was a metaphor I came up with just as I was writing the song. I thought that was a really cool metaphor for a number of feelings one might have, overextending themselves, pounding themselves on the pavement for very little return.
And also feeling like an anachronism.
Sure, sure.
Because we all know where that the salesman is symbol comes
exactly.
from.
Exactly, and it's no longer there. And so I actually wrote that into his character. I made him he had been a traveling salesman, and of course as time changed he no longer could do that, but that was a detail that ended up in the story that came from the song.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna play a song from my forthcoming album and book. This is called The Wishing Well, and this is a set of songs. Each one goes with a story that will be in the book. The book is called The Free Brontosaurus, and both are coming out in September. And as you'll hear from the song, this is a story about a guy named George who has some troubles in his marriage, and he ultimately finds solace and healing from watching the construction workers building a new bridge across the water near where he lives. And so that's what you'd read from the story, and you'll hear pieces of that in the song. So this is The Wishing Well. Have you heard that there's water? Some would die to find in a well in some forest can turn more than to wine. No, not sure I believe it. I'm not sure that I do. But lately I have been grasping for something to pull me through. Where's the wishing well?
Where's the wishing well? And I feel like a traveling salesman going door to door. Though I don't like to say it, sometimes I want it more. All my life for my lady, 20 years is one. Then one morning she wakes up, George, she says we're done. Where's the wishing well? Where's the wishing well? Where's the wishing well? Where's the wishing well? And now I'm left building bridges, if only in my mind. Trying hard to cross chasms, trying to turn back time. All those days I was spinning other people's dreams. All those nights I was sitting wondering what it means. Where's the wishing well? Where's the wishing well? Where's the wishing well? Where's the wishing well? And if one morning I find it, here is where I'd start. Build me a bridge that's forever between two heads and hearts. Where's the wishing well? Where's the wishing well? Is there a wishing well? Where's the wishing well? If there's a wishing well, be my wishing well.
The record is called Cardboard Boat, and the book is called The Free Brontosaurus. So they have different names, but they'll both be released on the same day, which I believe it's going to be September 25th. I know it's September 25th. It's September 25th.
So the rollout is going to be happening sort of before things come.
Yes, and you know, tour dates are already being booked, and there'll be a lot of touring starting in mid-September, and then
is this David solo, or are you bringing...
No, this is pretty much the band that I recorded with, although it depends on the nature of the show. There are certain shows that I'll play solo, and certain shows that will be a bigger productions. Yeah, we haven't quite figured all that out yet.
Okay, so we're looking at a visit back to Albuquerque. When next you come is going to be on the 6th, and that's at Marble Brewery.
June 3rd, I think it
June
is, 3rd? Actually.
June 3rd?
Yeah,
okay.
It's a Wednesday, June 3rd.
Okay, it's a Wednesday, June 3rd. And you're going to be fairly busy in one configuration or another in Santa Fe until September?
Yes and no. We're playing at the Bandstand in August. August 26th we'll be playing, and that will be with Ben and Paul and Josh.
And the record and album will be just about coming out.
Yeah, and I'll probably, because it's a hometown, we'll have the product. I'll probably sell it there, because I'd like to give my people I live with a little early peek. But that's it. I'm really excited for that Bandstand show. I mean, and Detroit Lightning, Ben's band that plays Grateful Dead songs, is playing after. So we'll have some of them. Well, it's basically the whole band, but we'll bring in a couple of the other players onto our set, and hopefully I'll sing a couple with them, and it'll be one big, big hippie evening.
Well, Ben Wright, you have moved through so many different bands, but let's start with Ben Wright, who's better known as me.
Oh yeah, sure.
A solo record came our way shortly after the last D Numbers record had come out. It's called simply MI, and it's not even under your own name. Now, that record, we've shared some of that record, and you've talked about it. That came about in a period of gestation, in the most realistic sense,
quite
in that
literal.
you were about to become a dad.
That's right.
Your wife was incubating the bambino or bambina, you know, upstairs of your studio.
Yeah, that's right.
And the record came out, and the record, I found that record bewitching and really difficult to play on the radio because you
understand.
Really want to spend some time with it. Okay, there's a follow-up to that project on the line?
Yeah. So there have been a couple of more short format releases since then, but this one that will be released May 25th is the proper full-length follow-up to that former One on the Way record.
And is it called Yo?
No. I like that. No, under the name Me again, and the album is called End My Edges. Yeah,
and it's a totally solo project.
Yeah, that's right. All my sounds. I'm trying to think if there's any exception to that. Not really. A lot of field recordings that I had made over last summer.
And Mesa Recordings, D Numbers is an ongoing project, but Mesa Recordings has sort of taken on a bigger part of all of your work.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The three of us from D Numbers founded Mesa Recordings. Just about 2 years ago, I think, and we've been releasing steadily since then. I think my forthcoming Me album is the 20th release in 2 years, so we've been hustling, and we're booked straight through the rest of 2015 and looking at releases for 2016 too, so it's cool.
You were bigger than Europe once upon a time.
Yeah, well, D Numbers has been over there just for one good trip with our Serbian brethren. It was an unusual tour, long story, but we traveled all around Eastern and Western Europe with a bunch of guys from Belgrade. It's awesome, once in a lifetime experience.
And we're going to look forward to that second album. From Ben Wright under the name Me Am I, coming from Santa Fe. Again, David Berkley and Ben Wright, I think.